somebody got upset because somebody put up on East 38th Street in front of a church a poster of a lynching in Marion, Indiana in 1930. They got upset. And the lynching kind of said, you know, vote, and reminded people what happens when you don't vote. And some folks got upset that somebody put a poster like that out. Wasn't somebody that looked like me, wasn't somebody that looked like the folks that are here in my studio that are first guests. And we'll talk about that in our last half hour, because those people that are upset about that poster on East 38th Street, I'd like to see that same outrage about the cases of murder in our city, where everybody was. We're not talking about a murder that occurred in a vacant lot or out in the middle of nowhere in a rural area where there was just two people, the victim and the perpetrator. But if you remember scripture, the first homicide, there were no witnesses because it was Cain and Abel. And Cain thought he'd get away with it because Cain figured, ain't nobody out. First of all, ain't that many people on earth. And only me and Cain out here. I took care of Abel. Nobody knows. I got away with this. But there was a witness to that crime. The one that knows all, sees all. Now, he could have been busy in another part of the world that he created. He could have been occupied. He could have been watching his high-definition TV that day. Just because it was in Genesis don't mean the good Lord did not have high-definition TV up in heaven. He could have been busy on Twitter. He could have been preoccupied with what them little angels doing over there, this is another party. He could have, you know, God gets busy sometimes. But he knew when he saw wrong from right that he needed to tell the authorities. And since God Almighty at that time was the authority, he simply said, Cain, where's your brother? Cain said, I don't know. And the Lord said, are you not my brother's keeper? At that point, Cain knew he had been found guilty in a court of law, and he was getting ready to, he didn't go to jail. They just sent him somewhere. We bring this down to 2012. In June, there was a double homicide in this city. It occurred near the gas station at 38th and Georgetown Road. It happened about four blocks from a nightclub. Not, as the TV stations would like you to think, inside the nightclub, not on the parking lot of the nightclub. But it may have had something to do with people who were at the nightclub. We're talking about the tragedy that that two brothers were shot dead. Andre Sinetti Herod and Levon Herod. Herod. I'm get there. Because Ron Herod is here.
Yes, sir.
There we go. He's the dad. I got a mom here. I got a note from grandma.
Mother
this year. I got other relatives here that are listening. And as one of the moms said, he said, it's been approximately 3 months since my son Levon, his brother, were gunned down after leaving Cloud Nine. And it amazes me, she writes, that with the club being over capacity and the numerous people, including law enforcement, that were located on the premises or in the vicinity of the club, there has not been any leads and or arrests made in this case. We've heard numerous versions or speculations as to what happened, but again, no arrest. A young lady spoke with my sister who, along with a friend, allegedly witnessed this incident. She informed my sister that they contacted the police, but again, no viable leads, hence no arrest. We constantly hear of shootings and killings in the media of this nature. Typically, first reactions are, oh, that's horrible. Or, it's just another gangbanger killing another. Or something similar. The story's broadcast for a few weeks, and then life goes on. I would like to say that when I heard of instances like this in the past, that my attitude was different from what I just described. However, it wasn't. I've always been saddened to hear of such incidents. However, prior to my son's death, life did go on. Most people, including myself, do not think these type of incidents could happen to them or hope that they would never happen. But unfortunately, it can, and life doesn't go on as easily as most think. My son, LaVon, wasn't involved in any gangs, nor was he the type of young man that would be seen in the clubs frequently. He was a young man who was trying to make a better life for himself and his children. A young man who was very protective of his siblings, and on the night of his death, he went to Cloud Nine to make sure he could protect his younger brother, Andre. What angers me most is that it appears that no one will be held accountable for this crime. It hurts me that the police have not pursued this case aggressively and probably have viewed it as another black-on-black crime. It's frustrating not knowing why my son died and having no explanation for his senseless death. I got the family here, Ron, Herod, Herod. I'm gonna write this like H-E-R-O-D. Now I got it. Herod. Okay. See, I was writing it the other way. I need to write it biblically. Yeah. There we go.
Whatever helps you.
All right, that works. Ron Herod is in the house. Dad. Sabrina Stinetti.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mom. Got a letter from other mom. Got other family members here.
Auntie.
Got thank God for aunties. No leads from the police.
No leads. The first day following this incident, they were getting tons of calls. None of them panned out to be viable. None of them have led to even a suspect, let alone an arrest. And part of our goal, like Julie was saying earlier today, is to get the word back out there. And to get some people to come forward. It was our understanding there was almost 3,000 people out there that night.
Mm-hmm.
And there had to have been several, if not hundreds of people that seen something. And my thing right now, I don't care if you consider it small or big, what you saw, if you consider it to be substantial or non-substantial, just call and tell somebody what you saw.
Do you know how many people law enforcement actually interviewed? In other words, if there were 3,000 people in the club hanging out there, did they interview 100, 200, 300, 500?
I don't have a number. I talked to the detective in charge of the case weekly. I mean, a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding, most of the people they've interviewed were either worked at the club or the people who did call 911 that night mm-hmm. and actually left their name. I know if they've gone through all the 911 tapes, all the Crime Stopper tapes, and talked to anyone that they, recognize that called in, but I couldn't give you a number on that, and I know that, through those people, nothing have come forward.
And no theories of what might have happened? No street buzz?
Road rage.
Mm-hmm.
That is apparently when the boys were leaving the club, they bumped into somebody else's car. Didn't do, from my understanding, no major damage, wasn't a total totality incident or anything like that. It was just they bumped somebody's car in the mayhem trying to get out to the parking lot of the club, and that person or individuals in that car called back up with them.
And no video at the gas station? Or that video didn't show anything?
From my understanding, none of the videos from the bank, the gas station, the car lot, actually showed anything from the street.
Okay.
My understanding is a lot of their cameras are focused on their buildings, their parking lot, their doorways and entryways, and not necessarily the intersection of the street.
And I can't remember whether those Crime Stoppers cameras are at 38th and Georgetown. I can't even remember whether they're 38th and Lafayette Road. The cameras with the little blue lights.
Yeah.
Sister Sherry Peters is nodding her head. It means yes or no, or where are they?
They are there. They are there.
They are?
Yes. There's
and
one.
There was nothing on them?
Not that I'm aware of.
Or is it the dummy camera? Because, you know, some of those cameras are the dummy camera to kind of make, you know, Al-Qaeda think that there's cameras everywhere. Has the police department offered to show you any of the tapes?
No, sir.
So that you could get at least, you know, if they're telling you, well, we didn't see anything in the street, it was seen to me to bring, it's not closure, but, you know, some answers to at least let you all at least see the tapes.
Haven't been offered.
Not to my family.
Yeah, nothing has been put out there.
Is that something you'd like to see?
Personally?
No.
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I think if it was offered, I may look at it. I mean, it's not something I've seeked out to see.
Okay.
But, I mean, my thing is, I probably wouldn't want to see the incident if it was caught on camera, but I would like to know if it was because other people need to see it as far as the police and detectives and, you know.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I don't know if my sister would actually want to see
the crime.
The crime.
Yeah.
But if it is available, I think she would like that knowledge.
Well, I'm disturbed that if there are the crime cameras at 38th and Georgetown and 38th and Lafayette Road, which are designed to look at the road, among other things, it would seem to me if there was a car involved, the car might have gone that way. Or if there's, I don't know whether there's cameras at 38th and High School, it might show at least that because you're trying to find at least, you know, what a vehicle looks like. Then that gives you something to go on to call Bureau of Motor Vehicles and do all that other kind of stuff.
That's true.
You may have questions. 239-1310, 239-1310 is after news and Amos. And, of course, if you know information, the date was June when?
17th.
June 17th. That was the so that was this just Saturday night.
It
was
this
was
morning.
The Saturday night, Sunday morning. 17th was a Saturday or 16th was a Saturday.
17th was Sunday.
Okay, 16th. so this was Saturday night, the 16th, going into Sunday morning, the 17th,
yes.
At about what 2-ish, 3-ish,
in between 2 and 3 a.m.
In the 2 a.m. hour, somebody knows something. Mm-hmm. Somebody is like God Almighty, you saw something. You know something. We trying to find Cain. Now, Cain, if you're listening, you might be afraid. I understand that. You can call Crime Stoppers, 262-TIPS, 262-TIPS. You know, maybe if you're afraid to turn yourself in, call a pastor. We kind of know how to, you know, deal with that kind of stuff. But it raises the larger, and I know, Ron, we were talking a week or so ago, and I asked you how the detective was handling it, and you had nothing but good things to say about the detective
right.
involved in this case. Is this something where, since we all know we don't have enough police officers for what we really need in this city, and we're getting ready to have this big budget battle, is this something where that one detective needs help? He can't do it by himself. Even the team of great homicide detectives that we have, I think they could barely fill this small room here. So this could be an argument that in order to, you know, only on television, the only place I know where one guy can solve a crime in 44 minutes. That's on TV. In the real world, it might take a team of 5, 6, or 7 people just on one case. Is this a case where, you know, Mayor Bally, you need to break down the money, quit spending the money on the Pacers and the Colts, and, you know, let's hire some more homicide detectives so we can solve these crimes?
Oh, I truly believe it's that case, Amos. I believe that Police Department 1 does not have enough officers on the street.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have enough detectives, you know, interviewing people, trying to solve these cases. And another thing is the numbers right now, because I look at one source, and it tells me the number of homicides so far in Indianapolis is 74. Mm-hmm. If you go on the city website, they say it's 65.
If it's the website that I know about, I'm going to be check that one now. I tend to believe that.
And that's at 75.
I tend to believe that, brother, because he's consistent.
Right.
239-1310. Let's start today with. Here I am trying to go to the screen. The screen won't let me go. Here we go. Start with Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi, Amos, and the panel.
Yeah.
I one of my questions was, because didn't they say there was a young lady in the car with those two gentlemen?
No, that's not correct. There was a third gentleman in the car. There was no lady in the car.
Okay, my other, I was just going to say there are the blue lights there on the corner, but Amos already said that they were there. That was one of the things I was going to say as well.
All right. Good.
Okay.
All right. Good point. I appreciate it. Let me go to Miles at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Brother Brown.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm sorry to hear about the sons, but anyway, you might have to think outside the box on this. They've been having similar shootings over in Cincinnati, Ohio, where they find people shot at stoplights and compare the dates and things. Because if you remember back in the day, they had that guy, John Paul Franklin, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think it you know, comparing a lot of things that you hear to things in other cities, and Cincinnati only being 120 miles from here, you know, like I say, you might have to think outside the box on this. But that's about all I have to say about that.
That's an interesting point, because we don't know whether this was road rage. We don't know whether the other car involved, you know, had Indiana plates or out of state plates.
Correct.
That's an interesting point. Let me go to the phones and Carolyn. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. This is Carolyn, and hi, guest. I have been through the same situation with my son in 2006. My concern is with the police department. I just don't feel like that they are concerned enough to really get into it. And information at the time that he was murdered was, it was a lot of information there that they did not follow up on. They still haven't followed up on. There's been three cold case detectives that has retired now. This last detective that I was told about, I called, and he promised to get back with me. This was 2 months ago. He hasn't gotten back with me. And I just say you have to just continue and vigorous, and I hope it you'll solve your children's cases quicker than my son's case has been. He was murdered at his apartment on Georgetown Road, but, you know, it's just a heartbreaking thing, and it's something that you just don't get over, and not knowing who, why, is not helping. No. So keep on the detectives, and, you know, I keep on them, but it's not doing me any good, but maybe it'll do you good, and that's all I have to say.
All right, Carolyn, I appreciate it. Has Acting Chief Height talked to any of you?
No.
No? No?
The only person in the Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department I have talked to is the lead detective. I have talked to Sheriff Layton. I've talked to Congressman Carson, but nobody from my MPD except the detective.
Wait a minute. Chris, did you hear that? We got. Was he acting chief then, or was that still? No, he was acting chief then.
It was just under 3 months.
Would somebody tell the acting chiefs of police, my dear brother Height needs to talk to this family. He ought to talk to all the families that are hurting. Let me not single out one, because they're there, and the number is 75. We're 10 less than we were at this time last year, but still, you know, 75 is 75 more than we need to have. So those of you responsible for monitoring this program, would you, yes, I am dogging out my guy, not dogging out in the negative sense, but I think that, you know, a veteran, a law enforcement officer like Chief Height, who served in Baltimore, you know, they have a many murder in Baltimore, unfortunately, far more than we have here. You know, maybe he could lend his expertise and look over the files. So, Chief Height, hello. I think your detective knows. Trust me, y'all know how to find this family. Let me go back to the phones. And Tony, hi there.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, nothing much. What's up?
Ron's my cousin. Okay. Of course, the boys were my cousins as well. I just have to say, man, it's really sad that like you said, almost 3,000 people were there, and nobody is coming up to say something. I know for a fact people are seeing things because I've heard things in the street. My question is, and going to the previous caller, there's a lot of cases that go unsolved, and out of those 75, probably the majority of those are unsolved. We have this every year, and it's acceptable. I don't think that should be acceptable.
Well, I'm a slightly disagree with you. I know when Bill Benjamin was on the Indianapolis Police Department and had supervision over our homicide detectives, they were solving, I think it was 75 to 80% of the homicides. So 7 out of every 10, they were finding the perpetrator. That is considered one of the best solve rates of any police department in the country, period. And that was due not only to Bill Benjamin's knowledge and determination, but also how he led those homicide detectives. I mean, and I know the frustration of families, but those homicide detectives' reputation as being great guys and ladies in doing their job, it's there. I think the problem is, as a previous caller said, if some of our best homicide detectives are retiring, and we're not replacing them because we've got a boneheaded mayor and boneheaded policies that won't put new police on the street and hire some folks and have diversity of detectives, some detectives that really can understand the street. You don't have to be a black cop to understand the street. There's some blue-eyed soul brothers and sisters that can understand the street. But if you're not bringing in new cops...
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm laying it at the 25th floor because we're right. What are we? I think we're 150 police officers under strength. That's sinful.
Right, that's crazy.
It's just as sinful as the people in the community that know something aren't telling it. So it's two. Right. It's two things. We got folks in the community that aren't telling it and ought to call Crime Stoppers 262 tips, or if they know something, I'm going to get the detective's number here in a minute, call the detective. But if we don't have enough detectives out here to trained and ready to investigate and go out here and scoop it out and get and build that trust and rapport, then we can't solve these things. So it's part of it's the community. Part of it is getting enough guys and ladies to do the job. In the 11th largest city, we should have the 11th largest group of homicide detectives. Amen. Straight up.
We've got one of the largest SWAT teams.
Yeah, straight up.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I just want to urge everybody that I know personally. If you know anything, call me, call Ryan, call Crime Stoppers. We appreciate anything we can get out of it.
What's y'all's number?
Excuse me?
What's the number?
Oh, my number is 317-366-0848.
On the stuff that you said, that Tony, that you heard in the streets, did you relay that information to law enforcement?
Not to law enforcement. I've spoken to my cousin and my uncle.
No, see, that I think that's the other thing. Chief Height? You need to sit down with this family, this whole extended family. Let them tell you what they've heard. Now, maybe what they've heard ain't it, but that's part of it, sifting the information.
Right.
All right, I appreciate it, my brother. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. So let me go back to the phones. And is it Enriquen?
It's
Enriquen. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. What's up?
I am the sister of the young man you have sitting there.
Okay.
That's my little brother.
All right.
I just want the public to know, y'all please help us find who did this. You know, because my family has been through a lot. And we just want somebody to help us to help ourselves to get this solved.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have peace and we can have closure.
I'm with you when you're right.
Yeah, and they don't understand. They didn't just take my nephews. They took my mom, too.
Mm.
So I just want my brother to be encouraged to stay uplifted, him, Sabrina, and Julie, to know we will get this done somehow, some way. Through God, we will have this done.
Let me go to Keisha at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine.
I am the sister. My brother was killed on October 5th or October 6th, 2008, and he was killed Circle City Classic weekend, and there were over 100 people that were out there when he was killed. He was shot 4 times in front of people, and no one came forward and mentioned and said anything. After he was shot, he was shot on lots off of High School Road and 38th Street, and he went behind the plaza. There's like an embankment, and he charged behind that. Someone called anonymously to the police a couple of hours after and reported that he was behind there, and they couldn't trace the call. No one contacted my mom or I to let us know that he had passed. No one came to the house. I had to call the police department and say, I think that you have my brother, because they were showing the car on TV. They were showing everything. They even started showing his picture before anyone even contacted us. They allowed the show Crime 360 to be present to film everything, and no one contacted us until we reached out to them. Until this day, they still have not followed up with us. What the detective told me after me following up with him was that the person that they believed to have killed my brother was killed a couple of years later, but that was the only information that he provided me. There were 4 gentlemen that were in a car who they pulled over immediately after it mm-hmm. occurred, mm-hmm. but they let him go because they said they couldn't convict him, and we still to this day haven't heard anything.
When was the last time you talked with anyone from law enforcement about this?
Probably 2010, 2009.
And so there's
the end of 2009, and I tried to follow up, and no one has ever contacted me anymore regarding it.
And no one from the cold case squad has talked to you?
No, nothing. And I know that, I mean, he got killed, and there were over 100 people around. It was on a Sunday night after the skating rink or whatever it is on the west side, and there were so many witnesses there. They didn't try to speak to any of those witnesses or try and contact them or do anything.
I tell you what I would like you to do, if you would leave with Chris, the gentleman that you talked to when you called me, if you would leave your name, the name of the young man that was killed that night, and a phone number where you can be reached during the day. I have this feeling IMPD going to be calling me. Why do I have that feeling? Why do I have that feeling? I'm gonna hear from the chief, you know, real quick. And that's something that somebody can follow up, even if it's cold case. Because if you're telling me they believe that the person that did it passed away, they ought to be able to walk you through that, even if that evidence wasn't provable in court. If there's enough dots to paint a picture, that could provide not peace, but a little bit of closure. For you, and it was seen to me that
it would be so great for my mom and I to have something, mm-hmm. to know that someone cares.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to lack of resources at the police department. You know, here I am, FOP ought to love me. Here I am trying to get more police officers on the street to do the job. 239-1310, 239-1310. Somebody didn't want to go on the air. Said, what would the family say to the ones that know something and don't want to come forward because they're scared to talk, because they're afraid to talk about it because somebody could get even with them? How would you address that? There might be somebody listening that might know something, that might have the key to unlock the door. But, you know, fear is a powerful deterrent.
Well, I look at that in a couple of ways, Amos. One is you can always call anonymously, just like they called the radio station. I guess they didn't want to go on the air and went anonymously. Crime Stoppers take anonymous tips. As you said before, 262 tips, which is 262-8477. The Homicide Division of IMPD phone number is 327-3475, 327-3475. You can always call anonymously. You know, my thing is, there's one thing to be fear of retaliation, but I think you should be more fearful of an animal and a perpetrator running our streets who would commit a crime of this nature. Mm-hmm. I think that is, to me, I would be more scared of that than I would be of somebody coming after me because I'm trying to have that person, you know, held accountable for their actions. You know, my thing is, the individual that did this to our family members are probably still out there going to the clubs, you know, drinking, watching football games, you know, hanging out, partying, going to the movies, all that stuff. And, you know, our boys, my boys can't do any of that. And our family still is in turmoil through all this?
This is a really dumb question. There was no real damage to their car from the road rage?
From my understanding, the car that they hit, there was no real damage. That's part of the reason we made it even more difficult to find that car. Because it's not like we were looking for a certain type of car with a heavy front end.
So no paint scrapes or nothing like that?
Very little, if any, paint transfer.
Okay. Let me go to Don at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
When are we going to wake up as a community? Have we just been brainwashed by our pastors to wait on Jesus? I mean, if you don't demand justice, you won't get justice. All we do is sit around here and talk about justice. Now, these people, they say that they're listening to Amos Brown Monday through Friday. Now, if they were really listening to Amos Brown Monday through Friday, they would probably do more acting. So I don't know if they're just turning their radios on and just sort of just going through the motion. But this is really shameful. And like I always say, say it loud, I'm black and I'm ashamed.
What would you want people to do?
Well, like I said, justice. You have to demand justice. You have to go down there in some form or fashion and let the mayor on the 25th floor say, hey, we need more policemen. We need more action in our community. These are the facts. We talk about them daily. You hear them daily. Can you help us? And if you can't help us, can you point us in the direction where someone can help us?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Y'all ever thought of going to the mayor's office? Just walk in there and say, we want to see the mayor.
I've thought about it. And to tell you the truth, Amos, that's why I came to you about a week ago and asked to do your show. And I want to get involved on some other shows, some other things. It's taken me almost just 3 months just to basically be able to come out of my house and interact with people. Mm-hmm. You know, haven't shut myself up in a closet and, sat in the dark, but I've spent many nights crying myself to sleep. I spent many nights on my knees, so I'm just now to the point to where, yeah, now I've thought about it, and to say I'm probably going to do it this week or next week, I would not be lying to you if I told you that, because I'm just now able to really talk about this. The incident and my boys and so now, yeah, I'm on the mission, the crusade to bring this back to light and get some answers.
Let me go back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there. Hello?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm calling in reference to something that took place about a month ago, and it is kind of like the detectives that are on these scenes don't really care about these murders, especially when they concern black people. But I did have a friend that her brother had been missing for 30 days. She actually went to the media. They would not put his picture on the TV because he had no medical problems. And I guess you have to have a medical problem before they can do that. But for 30 days, he was missing. Last week, as you know, they went back out to the apartment building where the fire took place. Her brother had been in there, they claimed, the whole time. And I'm trying to figure out now if the apartment caught on fire 30 days ago and the fire took place in the kitchen. Her brother was found still in the kitchen, and I don't know if you guys have discussed it yet on the radio, but nobody went in there and found her brother. So for 30 days later, he's still in the same kitchen where the fire took place. And now they're trying to identify him. She still can't have a barrel for him because they can't identify him because he laid in the kitchen dead for so long. And usually in an apartment complex, you would think someone would have gone back out there to check the body, check the kitchen, anything. But so this has been kind of put under the rug, too. And I don't know if you're aware of that situation.
I remember hearing when the individual was found where the fire was. I do remember that. And it was seemed to me if there was neglect because a person was there and nobody checked, the family or the next of kin of that gentleman might have cause for a lawsuit against that department. There's some other things. On missing, I can tell you straight up that media does not look for missing adults unless there are special circumstances involved in that, and it is a problem.
And she did go ahead and put up her own posters and start doing it on her own. But the fact that 30 days and the day that he came missing, the next day there was a fire in the apartment, and that should have been, you know, a wake up there. It's like, well, let's go back and investigate where it started in the apartment. And it's just, I can't understand why the fire department never went back into that apartment to just check to make sure there were no animals, kids, or anything. And that's the strangest thing I've ever heard of. You know, you're going to have a fire in a place where you have a missing person. And until she finally got a detective on the case who went back and questioned the landlord, and they said, well, some of the residents have been saying they're smelling an odor coming from that apartment. Then he requested the key and went in, and that's how they were aware the body was in there.
I'm trying to figure out why the apartment complex, after the fire and the fire department released the scene, why they wouldn't have gone in there and started cleaning up where the fire was.
You know why? Because it was still a missing case. So I think they were not able to go in there yet.
Because of the what? Because of the what?
Because I think it was still a missing case and the guy was still missing. So I don't think the apartment complex was able to go into it because it was still under investigation. So no one was able to go. Because I said the same thing. Well, you know, even when someone said you smelled an odor, why didn't they go in and check it out? The whole story is kind of crazy because I agree. They should have gone in there and checked it out. But
kind
of,
crazy.
But normally, being an apartment complex, wouldn't the fire department go in the next day and just go back in and check to make sure it wasn't arson or try to see what caused it? So that's crazy. Too.
You know, I'm not as familiar with fire procedures as I am with some of the police procedures, but my common sense would say somebody would have gone in there, if not arson or the insurance investigators for the apartment complex or somebody. That one, Alfred Hitchcock couldn't write something. Stephen King couldn't write something like that.
This might be a good show.
Do they
question them on this? Now they're trying to say the body could have been brought back in after the fire.
And that's so. Yeah, but if it's brought back in, it would have. Never mind. I was getting ready to say something. But I don't. That would be. I wouldn't want to be disrespectful to you and the memory of this young man. Do something for me. Hold on, and I want you to give your name off the air to Chris, the name of this young man, and a number where you can be reached during the day.
Okay, like I'm not a family member, but I know his family member, and I think it would be a good show.
Okay. All right. The reason is I'm sure law enforcement is going to call me today after I done dogged out the acting chief of police. Okay?
I'll talk to Chris.
All right, I appreciate it. If people, all right, it's Crime Stoppers, which is 262 TIPS, 262 TIPS. If you know anything, even if you think you don't know it, but you've heard some buzz in the street, some buzz at the barbecue joint, some buzz in your neighborhood, some buzz at the beauty shop, some buzz at the grocery store, some buzz on Twitter, some buzz on Facebook, somebody told a friend of a friend of a friend, call Crime Stoppers or the detective's number, Ron Herod?
327-3475.
327-3475. 327-3475. And if you all are monitoring this show on behalf of the city and on behalf of the Deputy Chief, Interim Chief Height needs to talk to this family. Update this family. And while you're at it, update the other families as well. That's the part that I have never completely understood about law enforcement. Why they don't have a group of folk. And it doesn't have to be, it can really be just one officer. Because if we only have 100 homicides in a year, that means the caseload of that officer would be 100. That would just keep families informed. Even if it's, we have nothing new to tell you, but how y'all doing? Even if every 2 or 3 months, that person doesn't have to be a sworn officer. It could be a civilian. Maybe somebody that's gone through this tragedy in their lives and could do that. Hey, we just want to tell you, I'm checking the case. There's been nothing new, but I wonder how y'all doing. How y'all hanging in there? Have y'all heard anything? And it shouldn't be a detective. Now that I'm thinking about that, that's a civilian gig. That they could probably get some retired folk. I'm serious to do that. Maybe when you go see the mayor's office, because I would love to have him say, I ain't got time to see a family in trouble. Maybe there's something the attorney general can do. I'm going to ask him. too. I just got a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. It says, I sympathize with your guest. My son was murdered in 2009. My whole life changed. And I would just like to tell the family to continue to pray and ask. And then they ran out. But I think you know how they were going to finish that sentence. Sherry Peters, Sabrina Stinetti, Ron Herod. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you.
And I know I got other family members and friends here. Y'all hang in there, too.